Welcome to The Indignant Muse, where we reimagine Ireland's revolutionary past through song and poem.
I have no tears for Brother Pat, though stark he lies and stiff and gory, on the Egyptian desert that he might assist in England's glory.
You have heard of old Queen Vic, says the Shan Van Vocht. Our late keepers make me sick, send the Shan Van Vocht. In her war against...
On the mountainside the battle raged. There was no stop or stay. Macklin captured Private Burke and Ensign Michael Shea.
Yes, we're conspiring, as ye claim, to save our kin across the water from being led forth in England's van and sent into the shambles slaughter. We're putting rifles in their hands to use whatever time they'll need 'em. Since when has it become a crime, America, to arm for freedom?
Moored in the river, still we lie, though fair the wind and still the sky. We wait the siren's last shrill sound, the good ship Ireland outward bound o'er that wild sway insurgency to seek the port of liberty. The tide is full. Why wait we here?
To help us bring the songs and poems to life, we're delighted to be joined by members of Ungoliant Traditional Singing Club. I hope you will join me over the next few months as we travel together on the journey of Irish historical discovery.
And you were listening there to a promo for a wonderful programme starting tonight here on Near FM. And in studio I have Paul Loughran and Kieran Murray to talk about it. I'll ask you first, starting at 6:30 this evening, Kieran, what's the duration of the programme? Is it over an hour, half an hour?
Half an hour, yeah. Each programme is about 28 minutes in duration, yeah.
And it runs for 10 weeks, isn't it?
10-week series, yeah.
Okay, it sounds great. So can we have sort of how it came about, the whole programme?
Yeah, I'll let Kieran kind of tell you about the genesis of it, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose you get lots of stuff sent into the station, and from time to time you get really interesting books, and this big monster of a book appeared on my desk one day. And it's songs and poems of the revolutionary era, and the title caught my attention, and I said, oh, that'll be an interesting read. But first, when I opened it, there's very little to read in it. It actually is songs and poems, and the songs have the music in them. And there's also some really interesting pictures of the time. If you know those old pictures from those British magazines of that era, usually not depicting the Irish in a very good light, but that kind of design, and that really from that kind of Victorian age, and the fascinating pictures. But the poems and the stories really grabbed me. And I was talking to Larry O'Toole here from the Rocky Road about what will we do with this? Would he kind of read it and do a review, and we could interview Larry about what he thought of the book? But of course, once he looked at it, he kind of felt the same and said, well, I don't really know what to read. There's an opening.
It was so big.
It's so big. It's just a monster. And it kind of goes from that kind of era of the 1880s, the kind of Parnell kind of glory years, all the way up to the Civil War. That's the kind of end of it, and that encompasses kind of obviously the 1916 rising and the lockout, and it encompasses a whole different range of kind of eras and different groups and stuff. So it's a big monster of a thing. And then I suppose chatting to Paul, kind of saying, what do we do with this? Like, there's a lot in this, but where do we go?
Yeah, the songs, the songs relate to history as it's going along.
Yeah,
the songs are from the era and about the era, and they're kind of songs, I suppose you might call them traditional singing or ballad type songs, but very much from that time. And a lot of them, maybe you might think of the kind of songs that maybe you might hear Christy Moore originally occasionally singing, or maybe someone like Frank Hart, or that more kind of Liam Weldon kind of particular type of singer. But the songs would be ones that maybe have faded a bit from popularity, or wouldn't exactly be, maybe politically correct isn't quite the word, but you know, the flavour of it would be, I mean, some of it would be deeply anti-English, you know, and maybe at the time that was how people felt, but it's...
But I suppose as well, when you think about, I mean, a lot of the songs that have survived, like, would have a sort of an uprising of the rising and all that sort of flavour to it, but these type of things are more attached to actual history,
yeah,
things that happened.
They're from the era of when the book is depicting. So we followed the chronological order of the book in the series as well. So it starts, so I'll give you an example. The Gathering Storm is the first programme tonight at 6:30. And that's from the late 19th century. And that kind of talks about the Boer War and Irish men being enlisted into that war on behalf of the British Empire. And there's satirical songs about Queen Victoria, and there's songs, you know, about real battles in South Africa and in the Boer conflict. So some of the songs and poems we have in that would be Served Him Right, Shan Van Vught, which would be quite well known. Other not so well known, maybe The Battle of Dundee, Song of the Transvaal Irish, The Man Who Came Home from Pretoria. So within that program, they're the kind of the songs. And then we move on. The next program next week would be The Rise of Nationalism. And here we're looking at kind of, as you know, Irish people started to think, well, why are we fighting for the British Empire? There was this more of a kind of a nationalistic and patriotic national kind of era emerging in Ireland, and the songs will reflect that period. And it moves on from there right up to kind of the mid-20s. So like Kieran said, you go through the Labour movement, the likes of Connolly and Larkin, you go through the 16 Rising and the War of Independence and the Civil War. So, and it also touches on World War One within all of that as well. So
okay. But when you have such a mighty tome, I suppose that's why there's 10 parts to it. How did you find it, the transition, trying to put it into a program?
Well, we were very lucky that we had the editor, Terry Moylan. So Terry is the man who pulled the book together. It's his book, basically. So he's the one that did all the research. He's an archivist, historian, and he pulled this book together. So when we said we were interested in making a radio series about it, he came on board, and we asked him to select, you know, 8 to 9 pieces from each era, and then we would turn that each of those eras into one radio program of about 30 minutes. And then we brought in the Galilean singers, the likes of Manus O'Riordan and Seanna Hochgrán and Barry Gleason, Moira Nicrony and Gerry O'Reilly, to give their renditions of these pieces. And some of the pieces they'd never seen before, they'd never even heard. Some of the pieces that are part of this series, Terry reckons, have never been sung out loud. They've only ever been in print.
Okay.
And they'll get their kind of debut within on this series, if they were never recorded in any way. And okay. They may have only been sung or recited by the author of the period.
You might see a whole new revival. Sorry, go on.
They were probably just done once in a pub.
Yeah. And some of the poetry readings around the clubs, they used to be out in the 60s and 70s, used to have poetry and folk songs. So maybe they were played at that time, but well, this might bring a revival.
There's certainly an element of that. I think there's that sense. I was thinking about that kind of punch that magazine showing the Irish as kind of apes or ignorant and that. And a lot of this stuff was a kickback against that. And you know that flavour of songs like Monto, the old Take Me Up to Monto and slagging off the Queen and the English and stuff. There's that real flavour runs quite a lot through them. They're full of kind of biting satire and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then you have that kind of weird bit as well, where, of course, in things like the Boer War, like the Irish fought on both sides in the Boer War. Some of them went out to fight for the British and some of them went out to fight against the British. And you get that impression as well, that the Irish would have nearly fought for anyone once they got a chance to fight against the British. They just turned up.
Well, they fought in the Spanish Civil War, the Mexican Civil War, so I mean...
They're everywhere. And a lot of the flavour of it really comes through, the flavour of the era, because history can be a bit stale, and if you don't like history and you don't like reading big history books, this is a way to get a feel for that whole kind of Sean O'Casey times as well. And is there a special on Sean O'Casey? Does he feature?
He features a little bit, but there's no special. The special is on Pater Kearney, who wrote prolifically through that era.
Well, the great thing for me, looking at it, as well as the singers and reciters, because voices that have left us, unfortunately, in the past few years as well. You've got Ronnie Drew, Dominic Bean, Sean Dunphy as well there, and lots of us more. Eulach O'Connor's in there, Frank Hart and Luke Chavers. Yeah. Lots and lots of names. Too many to mention.
Absolutely.
They're all featured. So, so
as well as having, you know, real-life living people reciting the songs, we also use recordings from the likes of who you mentioned there, Ronnie Drew and Dominic Bean and so on. So there's a lovely mix of that kind of pre-recorded piece that was already there and available to us, and then, you know, bringing the guys into the studio. And also in between the pieces, Noel, then Terry will you know, speaks to the singer or the reciter about their impression of the piece or their previous knowledge of it. So there's also that he brings out the context and kind of guides listeners a little bit more about the context of the time mm-hmm. and the feeling of the time and the era. So as Kieran said, it's a very accessible way of learning a bit more about history, and there is that bit more context for people that are interested.
And as some of our history, I'm wondering, will it be, and maybe it will be, I suppose we'll have to listen to find out, that some things in their early history were quite muted, like the Spanish flu, for instance, who affected everywhere in the world, particularly Ireland, and then about the sinking of the Leinster. All of these things were muted at the time, so you never know, there might be stuff about that in there, maybe other stuff we didn't even know about.
Yeah, I definitely think that there's going to be surprises within
the women's movement as well.
Certainly there's some women writers that have almost been forgotten and that appear here quite mm-hmm. a lot, particularly Maeve Kavanagh, who had lots of really great biting satire poems and songs. And you know, but generally when the conversation comes up about the best writers of that period, she's not in that conversation, but she certainly is in this series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there is, as I said, a lot of real kind of cultural stuff. It's a real easy way to enjoy learning about that era. But there is that kind of underbelly part as well that doesn't appear in the kind of history books themselves. And some of it is much more vernacular. It's a kind of oral history, or to kind of get a grasp on it today, you know, people in 100 years' time may not want to read about Brexit. But if there's kind of clever songs and funny satire about it and slagging off some of the main characters, it just
if there's nothing else, there will be that.
Yeah,
it's already started.
Yeah, I can't imagine what anyone wants to read about it anyway. But it kind of catches the politics of the time in that way.
Yeah, sounds terrific. Anyway, it's a 10-part series starting tonight, 6:30. The Indignant Mood is The Indignant Muse. Is that the name of the book as well?
That's the name of the book and the series. Yeah, yeah.